Welcome to episode 11 of Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is Breeders' Cup Friday edition, and I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. Excited for the weekend.
Me too. The Breeders' Cup is here. I can't believe it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're actually going to be in beautiful Las Vegas to enjoy the festivities at the beautiful Red Rock Casino and have a lot of fun playing the horses. And just wanted to make sure everybody was aware, of course, as always, our social media and how to get a hold of us. Go to our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. All the links for all of our social media hookups are up there, including Twitter. You should follow us on Twitter. We're going to be very active on Twitter during the weekend because there's a lot going on. Any changes and stuff, go to offthechartshr. That's our Twitter handle. As well as find us in iTunes and your favorite podcast catcher. As well as you Android users out there, we're in the Google Play music store. So the agenda is going to be is going to be as follows. Oh, I definitely wanted to make sure I mentioned that to good luck with your horse Navajo and Aqueduct on Friday. We're going to have a good time being able to watch that race there as well live, which is awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, we're. I'm really excited. I'm a small owner in a horse called Navajo who's racing in a grade three at the Tempted Stakes at Aqueduct at a mile on Friday. And we'll be at the Red Rock Casino watching it.
You and I
and our buddies. So that's going to be great.
Yeah. So we'll give you a review of what happened last week. It was a little tough week last week, but we'll review it. And they'll give you some of the reviews so far. And, of course, another Horse Nuggets segment. Everybody's saying great things about it from what I'm hearing. This time you're going to talk a little bit about basics of handicapping. So let's all get right into it and tell us about what happened last week.
Okay, so, Dave, there's a lot to cover here on these Breeders' Cup races. So just real quickly, in the four races that I handicapped last Saturday, we did have one second pick winner that paid $3.90. So was, one of the favorites in the race. But, again, the overall numbers are impressive. 52 stakes races have been handicapped. And in those 52 races, 27 of our of the winners have come in our top two picks. So 51% of the time you're able to identify the horse that's going to win the race in one of our two picks, which is really pretty fantastic. Our best money maker continues to be betting our second picks to win in place. Still has a very positive ROI. And our top picks, I've picked 11 top pick winners in the 52 races, and that nets out to about a 21% win percentage. So overall, Dave, the numbers are still pretty good. Yep. And as I said in the podcast last week, all it's going to take is one nice priced top pick winner to put us at a positive ROI with our top picks as well. So, continue to enjoy it, continue to accept the challenge. And there isn't anything more challenging than trying to handicap these Breeders' Cup races. Yep. So
let's dig right into your horse nugget segment and just give some people some basics of handicapping. I have always wanted to know the basics, and I think this is going to be a good segment. So give us some insights.
Yeah. So, Dave, I rolled out this horse nugget segment called Basics of Handicapping for one reason today. I started to think about all the information that's available to a handicapper in handicapping these Breeders' Cup races over the course of Friday and Saturday, and began to realize how overwhelmed one could become with all the information. And as I like to call it, sometimes you feel like you're in the fog of war when you're trying to sort through all the data that's right. Coming at you. So for me, whenever I start to feel like I've over handicapped or there's too much information, I like to always just kind of go back to the fundamentals and try to remember the things that are the most important elements in picking winners at the racetrack. So those four elements are speed, pace, form, and class. And just make a couple comments about each one of those four, what I call pillars of handicapping. The first one, the first pillar is speed. It's really how fast can the horse run? Speed, not early speed. How fast can the horse run? And the beauty of the daily racing form is, and as well as all the other products in the market, they all have what they call a speed figure, and really that's a time figure. It's how fast did the horse run in that race. You know, I use the buyer speed figures, but you know, there's really not much of a point in trying to play a horse that looks like it's like its buyer speed figures are really short compared to the rest of the field. So the number one thing I look at is speed. How fast can the horse run? Pace. Pace is the second pillar of handicapping. The second pillar of handicapping, pace. I always identify in my past performances horses that show early speed, and I'll mark it with an ES, early speed. And then I mark the horses that I think are the stalkers, so the horses that are going to be laying just off the pace. And then I like to put a CL by the closers. So in every horse, in every race, I've identified who I think the early speed is, who the stalkers are, and who the closers are. And a lot of times that'll give me a visual of what the pace of the race is going to look like. Is it going to be a fast pace that's going to set up for closers? Is it going to be a relatively slow pace and so the speed horses are going to hang on? As you know, smart handicappers have said for years, Dave, pace makes the race. So I think, you know, one of the things you have to consider as you're handicapping is you have to really look at what you think the pace of that particular race is going to be. Form is the third pillar of basic handicapping. And form for me is, has the horse been competitive? And sometimes people, handicappers, talk about form and it's, you know, is the horse been running first, second, or third? To me, that's just one indicator of whether a horse is in form or not. Sometimes there's hidden form. Sometimes there's horses that have raced well, but didn't produce, a win place or show effort in their previous races. But when you look closely, you see that they've run some good quarters of a mile or some eighths of a mile, or they had a bad trip. Mm-hmm. They've been in over their heads class wise, but the buyer speed figures are still good. Those horses to me are still what I would call horses in form. And then the fourth pillar of basic handicapping is class. And one of the best ways to identify class is just to take a look at the purses the horse has been running in the past. And look and see if this horse has been competing at higher levels in their past performances. Class is a really important piece of this handicapping puzzle. Another way to identify class is by looking at some of the breeding. I also like to look and see what the horse was purchased for. So the purchase price a lot of times will tell me whether this horse has got class, at least from a breeding standpoint. So the four basic handicapping pillars that I use, Dave, are speed, pace, form, and class. And I think as the handicappers look at these 2 days of Breeders' Cup, it will be important for them to make sure that they go back and just consider the basics rather than getting into some of the minutiae that's available in terms of handicapping. I also made myself a note here to warn the handicappers to watch out for what I call the hocus pocus. And the hocus pocus to me are those body language experts. The tracks have a host or two in the paddock telling me whether horses have got dappled muscles and their ears are pricked, or they're on their toes, or they look like they lost weight, or they gained weight. Total waste of time. Yeah. Okay. You can't tell me a winning horse from a losing horse by looking at their body language. The only thing that I would say in looking at a horse, a thing to consider is if they are exceptionally sweaty or they look like they're washed out, like they've spent too much energy. That might be one piece of body language I would consider, but when you're sorting through the stuff to listen to and the stuff to pay attention to, these body language horse people, I don't get it. Another one is there's some handicappers out there that, you know, have gotten so crazy with these trainer statistics and trainer patterns that they've started to come up with some, you know, convoluted stats that all of a sudden point them to a horse. Like, you know, on Wednesdays when the temperature is below 45 degrees and this horse is stretching out. I use trainer stats, Dave, but I try to use the ones that make sense. Yeah. that give you a rational explanation. One of the things I've done in these Breeders' Cup races is just look at some of the East Coast trainers and what their success has been in shipping horses to the West Coast. Those are the kind of trainer stats I'm interested in. I'm not interested in these, you know, convoluted algorithm, algebraic formulas in trainer stats. Again, more hocus pocus, in my opinion. Another hocus pocus to me is all of these supposed workout experts given A, B, C grades to the workouts. Again, Dave, there are some smart horse people. It pays for you to pay attention to them. They will tell you what a workout looks like when it's good. But you know what? I find that just by looking at it with my own eyeballs and you know, there's plenty of workouts available through video. You can tell when a horse is under a hold. You can tell when a horse looks good. So I'm just trying to steer the handicappers away from some of the stuff that you can get lost in and make sure to remind people to go back to the basics, that they more likely than not, the basics of speed, pace, form, and class will point you to the winner.
Now, when you talk about hocus pocus, other things too that maybe they look at is maybe something I don't know, but they're looking where they're wearing boots on their legs, different type of equipment. Do you look at any of that kind of stuff?
Front wraps, back wraps. Some of the equipment changes, in my opinion, are significant. You know, blinkers are important. Blinkers on, blinkers off. You know, these are all things that you could consider after you've evaluated speed, pace, form, and class. Then there are some secondary types of factors to work into the equation, like, you know, trainers that do well in certain situations, equipment changes that are significant, horses off certain layoffs, and what a trainer likes to do with those kinds of horses. But for the most part, Dave, if you spend your time in the minutiae, you'll get away from the four basics. I mean, you'll wind up betting a horse because he doesn't have front wraps on today and ignoring the fact that he's not fast enough to win the race.
Okay. No, that's great. And I learn everything. I learn new things every time I listen to your Horse Nuggets, and I hope our listeners do as well, because that's some great information about handicapping. There's a lot to it.
So, yeah, there is.
So let's dive right into this, because we got a lot of races to cover here. You got the four of the top races of the year here, the Breeders' Cup. Let's start with this is all at Del Mar, of course, in beautiful San Diego, where the surf meets the turf. And we are going to start with the sixth race. Of course, this is going to be a pick four. You got four races to go through. And we'll start with the 10th running of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. It's a grade one, $1 million purse for filly two-year-olds.
On the turf. And Dave, my top selection in this race is going to be the 7, Capla Temptress. Capla Temptress is trained by Bill Mott, ridden by Joel Rosario. Couple things I've got circled here: Lasix for the first time, second North American start. This is the third North American start. This is the second North American start. Those are all workouts coming off that trip at Woodbine. So you know that I like horses who are racing in their second start in North America. Top trainer in Bill Mott. Mott is an 11% trainer. The first time that a horse is going to his barn. He's 15% with Joel Rosario. This horse, though, one of the things I liked, Dave, was I circled the Tomlinson figure for the turf, a 386 Tomlinson figure. This horse has been on the turf three times, has won twice, has finished third the other time. Lightly raced two-year-old filly, certainly lots of room for improvement. Going to a very strong turf trainer, throwing Lasix on for the first time, with Joel Rosario, who actually won on this horse in this horse's first North American start out at Woodbine. So all signs point to this kind of horse for me in this sixth race at Del Mar. So my top selection, Dave, is the 7, Capla Temptress.
Okay.
My second selection in this race, Dave, is the 5 horse. The 5 horse is – is Ultima D. Ultima Deez, trained by Wesley Ward, ridden by Tyler Gaffleone. This horse has been training really well at Del Mar, Dave. I watched one of the workouts today. This horse was under a pretty nice hold, looked great on the racetrack during a workout at Del Mar. But interesting for me, and the reason I've made this horse one of our top three selections, is that Wesley Ward is one of those trainers that's a 30% trainer when he ships turf horses to Del Mar. So for me, that means that this is the kind of trainer that knows how to send a horse from east to west and have them ready to win. Does all the things that are needed in order to have the horse ready for a peak effort. So this horse has got a Tomlinson on the turf of 344, has raced twice on the turf, has won once, has run second the other time. I think this horse looks like she might show some early speed. Tyler Gaffleone is a pretty under the radar jockey, but a good solid jockey, especially on the turf. So my second selection in the sixth race, Dave, is the 5 Ultima D. My third and final selection in this race, Dave, is the 9 horse. The 9 horse is Fatale Beret, trained by Leonard Powell, ridden by Kent DeSermo. Here's another horse, Dave, that's racing in her second North America start, having come over to the States from France. DeSermo was on this horse in that first start in North America and won with this horse from pretty far off the pace. If you've listened to the podcast in the past, you know how much I love Kent DeSermo, especially on the turf. I like the fact that this horse did race her first race in the States out on the West Coast, which is different kind of racing than racing on the East Coast in the United States. So my third selection in this sixth race, Dave, is the 9 Fatale Beret. So to summarize, Dave, in race 6, my selections are the 7, the 5, and the 9.
Okay, let's move on to the second leg of the pick 4. This is the 7th race. This is on the dirt. It's the 11th running of the Las Vegas Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which is grade 1, of course. A $1 million purse, and this is for 3-year-olds on up.
Yep, raced at a mile. And my top selection in this race, Dave, is the 8 horse. The 8 horse is Accelerate. Accelerate is 7-2 in the morning line, trained by John Sadler, written by Victor Espinoza. It didn't have to do a whole lot of handicapping here for me, Dave. This horse has been on the Del Mar dirt track 4 times, has won 3 of them and ran 3rd the other time, and produced a 110 buyer speed figure. Dave, this Del Mar racetrack's a quirky racetrack. Horses either do really well on this track or they don't. And as I handicap these races over the next couple of days, you're going to see that I'm going to be giving a lot of credit to what I call the home court advantage. Horses that have either raced really well at Del Mar or have raced well on the West Coast, where I think that the tracks are different, they're harder, they're faster. And I think, if you have to separate horses, you want to play those horses that are comfortable on the track, Dave. This horse has raced in a number of grade ones, raced in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile last year at Santa Anita. Get Victor Espinoza, who's, 29% when he teams up with Sadler. This horse is a 4-year-old colt. You know that I like 4-year-olds coming off their 3-year-old campaign. Usually it's when they're running their very best racing is when they're 4 years old. And I think the 8 Accelerate is a good top pick for us. So in this 7th race, the 8 Accelerate is our top pick.
All right.
Our second selection in this race, Dave, is the 6 More Spirit. More Spirit's 3-1 in the morning line, trained by Bob Baffert, Mike Smith. Smith and Baffert are 44% over the course of the last year. So they do really well. As the note here in the Daily Racing Forum says, in the past 5 years, Baffert has a 30% strike rate in grade ones with horses coming off that kind of layoff, 61 to 180 days. This horse is 3-for-3 at this distance, Dave. So and also he has a Tomlinson at 373 at this mile distance, and producing a 117 buyer speed figure, which was the figure that More Spirit produced the last time out at Belmont. If you note, though, Dave, You know, some of the stronger races of this horse's raced have not been on the West Coast, and I'm thinking maybe this horse likes some of those deeper tracks in the East, which is why I didn't make this horse our top selection. But it's, you know, I can't throw Baffert and Smith out in a race like this on a horse that looks pretty solid. I mean, obviously Mike Smith gets along with this horse well, as won on this horse the last three times the horse has raced. So the 6-horse More Spirit is our second selection in this 7th race at Del Mar.
Okay.
Our 3rd and final selection, Dave, is the 3-horse. The 10-horse. The 10-horse is Practical Joke. Practical Joke is 6-1 in the morning line. Trained by Chad Brown, ridden by Joel Rosario. I put an extra check mark by this horse, and I did mark CL as the closer. This race does look like it's got a lot of speed, Dave. And if there's a horse that I think has a chance of picking up the pieces, it's going to be the 10-horse Practical Joke. Practical Joke's been Lifetime has raced 10 times, has won 5, has run second twice, has run third twice, has made $1.6 million. Obviously trained by a top trainer, though. When I did some stats on Chad Brown shipping horses to the West Coast, Chad has very average to less than average statistics. So it would surprise me if Chad Brown had a good Breeders' Cup over the course of the 2 days, just based on the fact that I don't see a strong winning percentage. But if there's a horse I think can pick up the pieces here, in a race that I think's got a lot of speed in it, it would be the 10-horse Practical Joke. So to summarize, Dave, in race 7, my selections are the 8, the 6, and the 10.
All right. And then we move back to the turf. This is the 8th race, the 11th running of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. That's grade 1, $1 million purse. Colton Gelding's for 2-year-olds. And we'll tell us what your picks are for this race.
Yeah, Dave. So this is a mile race on a turf course, and my top selection in this race, Dave, is the 2-horse Untamed Domain. Untamed Domain is 8-1 in the morning line. Trained by Graham Motion, ridden by Jose Ortiz, one of the Ortiz brothers. One of the things that I did note is that Graham Motion is a 24% trainer on the turf at Del Mar, and a 27% trainer in graded stakes at Del Mar. Graham Motion does most of his training now either in the Midwest or the East, but Graham used to have his horses out in the West racing at Santa Anita and Del Mar. And this is a guy that knows how and what to place in terms of horses in races that he thinks can produce a winning effort out in the West Coast. And so that run really stuck out to me, the fact that Motion is really good with horses on the turf out on the West Coast. This horse has been on the turf 4 times, has won twice, has run third the other time. And we get a nice juicy price at 8-1 on a horse that I think is a pretty live price. So the 2 Untamed Domain is our top selection in the 8th race. Our second selection in the race, Dave, is another price play, the 10-horse Flame Away. Flame Away's 20-1 in the morning line. Mark Cassie's the trainer. Julian Le Perreux's the jockey. Cassie's a 24% trainer when he ships horses to Del Mar and puts them on the turf. And though this horse has not been on the turf before, I do know in that Bourbon Grade 3, they were trying to get that horse on the turf, and the race scratched off the turf. But the horse did win out of the 11 post out of 14 horses, closed strongly when I watched that race. And this horse is bred to race on the turf, is a $400,000 purchase. And Cassie knows how to get one ready to win first time on the turf. Yep. And I thought this would be a solid second play for us. So the 10 Flame Away is our second pick. Our third and final selection in this race, Dave, is the 4-horse. The 4-horse is Catholic Boy. Catholic Boy is trained by Jonathan Thomas, is ridden by Manny Franco, was 12-1 in the morning line. This horse has been on the turf twice, and has won twice. So 2 for 2 on the turf. This trainer's 4 for 13 the last 2 years with last out winners. He has a nice turf workout at Del Mar there on October 29th. Manny Franco's back up. Manny Franco was on this horse and this horse's last win on the turf in that grade three at Saratoga. And seems like, and also has been working well at Del Mar. I saw one of Catholic Boys' workouts today on TV. So my third and final selection, Dave, in this eighth race is the 4-horse Catholic Boy. So, to summarize in race 8, Dave, our selections are the 2, the 10, and the 4.
Okay. And I know we talked earlier, you did also possibly look at the 3 because I was looking on your notes here.
Huh. Yeah, Dave, actually that was a misprint on my part.
Okay, just making sure we were on the same page here.
No, my third selection is Catholic Boy in this race.
I corrected that. And just
yeah, no worries. Yep, it's good.
And just wanted to make sure we were right.
Yep.
All right, and we move down to the fourth and final leg of the pick 4 and the 9th race, which is on the dirt. It's 1 1/8 miles. It's one of the longer distances. It's the 34th running of the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff, one of the biggest races of this day. A grade 1 of $2 million, fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up.
Right, Dave. Yep. And I'm excited about this race. My top selection, Dave, is the 7 Paradise Woods. Paradise Woods is 9-2 in the morning line. Trained by Richard Mandela, ridden by Flavian Pratt. This horse is third off the layoff, has speed, raced, has produced a 105 and a 107 buyer speed figure and its past performances. I think you'll remember Paradise Woods, Dave. This was a top selection of mine in that Zenyatta grade 1, and this thing just won easily under wraps. Training like a monster right now at Del Mar. So for me, this is this horse has got a lot more left in the tank. And as I said, the last win was impressive, and the horse is really training well at Del Mar right now. And feel pretty strongly that Paradise Woods should be our top selection here. So in the 9th race, my top selection is the 7 Paradise Woods. My second selection in the 9th race, Dave, is Stellar Wind, the 2-horse. The 2-horse is 5-2. Sadler trains. Victor Espinosa is the jockey. This is a 5-year-old mare. This horse has been out 15 times in her life, has won 10 times, has made $2.2 million. She's wow. She's 3 for 3 at Del Mar, has produced a 103 speed figure. Has a bullet workout at Santa Anita coming into this race. I did hear an interview with Espinosa today, and he did say that he has to kind of get after this horse to get the best out of her, that she doesn't give her best effort unless Victor really gets on her. But you can see that Victor's been on her in all the races that are available in the past performances. This horse is going to get a good trip and probably will be just sitting off some of the pace setters like our top selection, Paradise Woods. So based on the record, based on the record at Del Mar, this is a classy horse, obviously, and is a logical horse to put in as our second pick. So in the 9th race, Dave, the 2 Stellar Win is our second selection. Okay. And our third and final selection, Dave, and you'll see a misprint in our notes as well there on the 9th race, Dave. But my third selection in the 9th race is the 6-horse. The 6-horse is Forever Unbridled. 4-1 in the morning line. Dallas Stewart's the trainer. Johnny Velasquez is the jockey. Couple of notations here. I did mark that this horse is a closer. So there does appear to be some speed in this race. And if there's a horse that can pick up the pieces, Dave, this looks like the horse that could do it. Has a subpar 12-second last eighth of a mile the last time out in that race at Saratoga. And then he has a number of, 12-second last eighths of a mile on her card here in the past performances. Obviously the horse likes to win, has raced 16 times, won 7 of them. Another, couple million dollar winner in her lifetime. And, we get a top jockey on a horse that could be picking up the pieces here should the speed fade. So my third and final selection in the ninth race is the 6 Forever Unbridled. So to summarize, Dave, our selections in the ninth race are the 7, the 2, and the 6.
All right. So before we wrap this up, I wanted to give you a programming note. You are going to get 2 podcast episodes in 1 week. Can you believe that? Well, that's because we have some great races coming again on Saturday for the Breeders' Cup. That's even be better to handicap. So we'll be recording that actually live from Las Vegas. So you'll be able to hear us talk about the races that are coming up in on Saturday. So we'll have that published out on Friday evening, so everybody will be able to listen before all the races are going off on that Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, I should say. So with that, I'm going to wrap up and make sure everybody knows to visit our website, and that's offthechartshorseracing.com, where you can get to all of our social media links at the very top of the page, including going to Twitter. You want to follow us on Twitter, offthechartshr. Any podcasting updates of changes that we do, as well as any race day changes and other picks that Steve may necessarily have, he'll be posting those on our Twitter feed. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. We also have an email address if you want to send any questions. You can send that to questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. Any closing comments before we wrap this up?
No, Dave, but you made a good point there. I have handicapped both cards, all the races, and I do have a couple of nice horses that I'm planning on playing myself, and I'll be sure to make sure that I post those on Twitter.
Absolutely. We look forward to it, and we look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Well, with that, thanks for joining us. Good luck and good racing.